राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी जय जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी जय सोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन सोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बने चारी यमुना तीरावने चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी जय जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी जय सोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यासुरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज तुलसी से महाता बहाय चरणिंद बाकी वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम श्री हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री श्री राधा माधव गोकुलनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन सिंहपुर धाम की जय श्री नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगमाही जमुनमाही की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय सांग वीर भक्त वृंद की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय जय निताय गो प्रेमानंद श्रीमद् भागवताम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज Glory to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. I guess this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, text entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kaye Balis Tasya Mahavibhute. Kaye Balis Tasya Mahavibhute. Shahar Trig Acharya Sarasare Tat Sahar Trig Acharya Sarasare Tat Tarasha Vishvam Trigunam Gunat Nake Tarasha Vishvam Trigunam Gunat Nake Utendriyata asya saya jiva yuktam. Utendriyata asya jiva yuktam. Kahi balistasya mahavibhute. Sahar Trigacharya Sarasare Tat Rasha Vishvam Trigunam Gunatmake Bhutendriya Yata Sayajiva Muktam Kahi Balistasya Mahavibhute Sahart Vigacharya Sarasare Tat Rasha Vishvam Trigunam Gunatmake Bhutendriya Rasaya Jiva Muktam. He balestas mahavibhute. Acharya Sarasare Tat. Asya Vishvam Trigunam Gunatmake. Tendayaya Saya Jiva Muktam. Mataji. Kai in the body. Bali. Maharaj Bali. Tasya. Of the personality of Godhead. Mahavibhute. Of that person who is equipped with all wonderful opulences. Saha Ritvik Acharya Sadasya. With all the priests, acharyas, and members of the Holy Assembly. Etat, this, Darsha, saw Vishvam, the whole universe, Trigunam, made of the three modes of material nature, Guna Atmake, and that which is the source of all such qualities, Huta, with all the gross material elements, Indriya, with the senses, Artha, with the sense objects, Ashaya, with mind, intelligence, and false ego, Jiva Yuktam, with all the living entities, Translation, Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Please repeat. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full in six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport by Swami Gosai Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya pavaho matah sarvam pavartate, Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva sarvamiti, Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Krishna is everything. Matstani sabhutani nachaham teshva avastitaha. Everything rests in the body of the Lord. Yet, the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, He has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitabad. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was a seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus there is Dvaitavada. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole. But since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achinta bheda bhed, simultaneously oneness and difference, is a perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mam Vishnu Dai Sai Putare Smati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Devi Sesha Shandavari Pasari Zakharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Vaman Hare Ki Jai. Translation again. Sri Vaman Hare Ki Jai. Translation again. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which is full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, various types of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. In other words, everything. Earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, ahankara, and the living entities. And they could perceive the karmic reactions and the modes of nature somehow or other. Mother Yasoda could also see that in Krishna's mouth. Difficult to perceive the modes of nature. Sometimes you can perceive them, but it's difficult to perceive karma, action and reaction. That you perform an action and there's a result and reaction coming. But that was personified or visualized. They could actually see that this particular activity would result in a particular way. The result would come in a particular way. So that was actually personified. In other words, it was practically seeing past, present and future at the same time to be able to see this. Because normally we can't say why something happens to us. We can't say why. But there you could actually see the beginning, the cause of it, and then the result of it. So that's the vision that they saw in that universal form. So it's a very, very overpowering form because you can see everything at once. It's little, you know, we will have limited senses and all these things that come in at once and demanding attention to our senses. It's very difficult because we got our eyes and we got our ears are the main thing. But there's all these kinds of things going on. And everywhere you look, there's something happening. It's all in that same person. At the same time, you can see his body. So how is it you can actually see the form of the Lord, and at the same time, wherever you look, you see something of the creation. But you can see the Lord at the same time, somehow or other. You can't. I guess if you step back to have a look, there's no stepping back because everything is everywhere and constantly expanding. But somehow or other, I guess through all of that, you can see the form of the Lord and everything is actually coming, emanating from Him, coming, expanding from Him. So I guess that's the way we could perceive it in our dimensions. That you can see the Lord's form, but you can see all simultaneously, you can see everything coming out from it, which filled all space, everywhere you look. So it's a very awesome form. But everyone got to see it. Even the demons, they're demons, they saw the Lord face to face. As Vamandev, Vamanhari, Trikram, and they saw him as the universal form. Still they try to attack him even after seeing that later on, we were describing. when Bali gets arrested and punished, and they come angry, and they're claiming it is unrighteous what this Vishnu has done. It's a good man, Bali. And they want to attack. Even after seeing this, they still want to attack the Lord. This hour. See how short the memory is, or how ignorant we are in the material world. We hear these fantastic things. Who are we to understand these things? We can only hear them. We're very small living entities contained within this Brahmanda, which is based in ignorance. What do we know? What can we do with a short span of 100 years? We're flapping around, and then we leave this body and take another body and flap around a little and take another one. How can we understand all of this? Only by hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the authority, you can actually get the glimpse of actually what's going on. What is the material world, and what is the cause, and what is beyond? You can only know by hearing and accepting. Of course, when one does accept, then there's revelation. Just like here, there was actual revelation. Even for the demons, who were not qualified, they weren't devotees. They weren't qualified to see the Lord's form, but he appeared before them. They all saw Vamanahari, and they knew he's Vishnu, because it was pointed out. Sukacharya said he's Vishnu, and he'd steal everything if you agree to his thing. So they saw him, they knew he was Vishnu, but in that form he didn't look like Vishnu. He was very cute, very charming, very unassuming, and very harmless. 5-year-old boy, nobody feels threatened, right? But anyway, they knew, according to Chukacharya, he's Vishnu. Then they saw the universal form. Still, it's like us, we hear so much, every day we're hearing Bhagavatam, you're not the body. We should accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, we should reject what's unfavorable. Still, even after hearing those things, that we're not the enjoyer, we're the enjoyed, we're always thinking how to enjoy. We're always seeing things with a view to improve our situation. And it doesn't stop, right? Unless one actually consciously applies oneself to, you know, remembering I'm the enjoyed, I'm not supposed to be the enjoyer. This enjoying mentality is a cause of my rotating in the material bodies. Because as soon as you interact with the material world, as soon as you touch, then there's reaction. Very tricky, like the spiders bite the web. The more you try to get out, the more you become entangled in the quicksand, the quicksand, sinking sand, the bog. You fall in there. The more you struggle, the more you go down. So like that. You struggle to enjoy the material nature, or you struggle to become free from the material nature, you become more implicated. You get stuck up with reactions. But we heard that every other day, we hear that, but we still don't give up, isn't it? Still always looking for the shortcut, the easy way, how to make life easier, how to resolve the problems. Always anxious for a better future. That is our insignificant position of the tiny little jiva in this material world, in this gigantic material body, compared with the size of the soul. This body's a mountain, huge, has all the demands, and we're still catering for it. We haven't given up that idea of the body is important, we should cater for it. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They're going to go on anyway, but they should be minute, but it's not the main thing. But how more important is our desire to serve ourselves and desire to serve Krishna? Generally, most of the day, your personal desire wins over that of surrendering to Krishna. Mostly, we think that adjusting the day, adjusting the life, is important. But it's not so important, because we think by adjusting we'll become free from suffering and get more happiness, but it won't. Your happiness and distress are coming from your previous karmas, not from your intelligence. intelligent activities, that will something will happen in the future from that. But right now, that's fixed. So that's just the way Maya bewilders us. But still, we go for it. We hear it all the time. But still, we do it. So these, this is the leela of the Lord. The Lord appears for the pleasure of his devotees, and to instruct his the fallen souls like us, to attract us back by hearing those pastimes. That's his main business. Why he comes here, to relieve the distress of his devotees who are calling for him, who are feeling separation from him. And at the same time, he's going to come and associate with them when he does appear. When he avatars, he's going to give them his association and perform different activities with them, which are very extraordinary. And this attracts the mind of all the other conditioned souls. People are looking for something better, a bigger or pious people, it says. Four kinds of pious people come to me. Everyone is trying by themselves anyway, but the pious ones, they go to Krishna. That's what piety means. They have more faith in Krishna than themselves, which is not a bad policy. But the false ego is so strong that we think, you know, we're trying to take Krishna's position, that we can do it. We can do it by our own endeavor. It doesn't go away. It's the last thing that goes away, because that's the first covering, is the false ego. So the idea is the last thing that goes away, the last thing that gets purified, that I'm Krishna's. I'm meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Now I'm using Krishna for my enjoyment. I'm praying to Krishna, please take away my problems. Please give me all my things, what I need, what I can't get. So Krishna's my servant. This is the mentality. So that has to change. We have to recognize that the only purpose of existence is for Krishna's pleasure, in essence. Choice is there. You can use your independence, Krishna says, but not in the spiritual world. Don't misuse it. If you want to enjoy separately, then there's a material. We go there. So until you give up that idea of enjoying separately, then we stay here. That desire gets purified. So that's why the Lord comes and performs his extraordinary pastimes, and then it will explain what they actually saw in the Lord, how the universe was contained within the whole Lord's body. Different parts of his body was describing where different things are, different areas in the planetary system are situated, and different elements are there. Very bewildering. But it was an actual form. Prabhupada said this is more or less an imaginary form. It's just for this little momentarily. Krishna showed it a few times, half a dozen times or so, I guess. I don't know, less maybe. Lord Chaitanya showed it. But we don't hear much. Duryodhana, Arjuna here. So it's not a form that you can actually have a relationship with. It's to which part do you have a relationship with, yeah? Everything's happening at once, simultaneously, past, present, and future. It's a bewildering form. You can't focus on any one thing. You can't, because even you focus on his form, his form is full of different kinds of life and different things, so you get bewildered. Yeah? Senses go to whatever's prominent, the senses go, right? If there's a noise, an explosion outside, everyone's ears are going to go there. Prominent thing, right? If somebody gets up and starts shouting, everyone's attention will go there. Whatever's prominent, you go there. So all these, there's hundreds and thousands of things, and they're all prominent. So where do you go? It's completely bewildering. That's what Arjuna admitted. I'm bewildered. It's bewildering. It's horrible. Actually, it's horrible after a little while. Krishna said, please, please, I can, I, okay, thank you for showing me. I wanted to see it, but I know I'm fully satisfied. I don't want to see it anymore. So that would be nice to see it. It comes like sense gratification. If you keep on doing the same thing, you know, you keep on eating that pizza and ice cream, you know, eventually you get sick. Eventually it becomes horrible. You can't even look at it anymore. Right? If you're forced to eat it, forced and take it, eat it, then it becomes horrible. So the source of pleasure, well, you know, eventually if there's too much, it becomes a source of suffering. Anything. So like that, there's, you know, that you actually can see the Lord, but then, oh my God, you know, what do you focus on? You know, it just blow your mind in the beginning, but, you know, you just, what are you going to focus on? So you can't really have a relationship with Him in that form. Just is the vibhuti, the opulence is just too great. It's just too powerful for us. It's too much at once. At the same time, we can't accommodate that. Brain's just gonna stop. Too much. So therefore, Arjuna said, "No, please let me see you in your original form, the one I know." Then Krishna went back to his forearm form, and then Arjuna was very pacified. What a relief to stop that one. But even after seeing this, the demon saw this. What was their qualification? They came to fight. Oh, they were Bali's friends. Bali was a pure devotee. That was their qualification. And anyway, they're not ordinary people, demons. Anyone who appears when Krishna's avatar and is not an ordinary person. How is it possible? You can take birth in the material universe on the planet where Krishna is. You've got to be very, very pious. You have a lot of sukriti for that. You can actually... Because practically everyone goes back to Godhead at that time. So they're not ordinary people, but they're demons. But still, they're seeing the Lord. They're seeing His form of Vaman. They're seeing His form of Vishwarup, and still they're bewildered. Still they don't follow Bali's example. They feel cheated. They think He's done us wrong. Now we've lost everything. We had the heavenly planets. We beat the demigods in a fair fight. It's our possession, and now He's coming. We're going to lose it all. Not only that, Bali is so magnanimous. You know, he's very generous. He's agreed to give the Lord whatever. Even if he knows, he's really honest, good-hearted person. And what was he going to do? He's going to just push him down, tie him up like a thief, common thief, and push him down to Shutala Loka. This is not fair. This is unrighteous. Let's get this person. So they come to attack Vamandev. Of course, the associates of the Lord there, Nandan Sunandan and the Vishnu, they are laughing at the demons, trying to mentality of trying to attack Vishnu. They're laughing, and they easily beat them off and send them away. So that's the Lord, that form of full of six opulences. All we say Krishna has is full of six opulences. Even His normal form has those six opulences. He displays those six opulences also in full. But He doesn't show all the material elements. When in Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna, Brahma was appreciating, because he's a devotee, so he was appreciating the Lord's position. He didn't see the universal form, but he saw hundreds and thousands of Vishnumurtis. And they were changing from small boys, cowherd boys, into Vishnumurtis. You could see that. Vishnumurtis with forearms, full opulence, fulgent. And and then he was bewildered. He was trying. He apologized to Krishna. I'm sorry. I was trying to play a trick on you. I was trying to test you. I was showing my mystic powers, trying to test you because, you know, I just can't understand your body. Your body is the absolute truth, but I can't understand it. Some people may say that I know Krishna perfectly. Let them say what they like. As far as I'm concerned, this is Brahma. I can't understand you at all. Because I can't understand you, what kind of bliss must you be experiencing in that body, in that little body? Because you're standing there with a flute stuck in your belt and some rice, chip rice in your left hand with some fruit yogurt. And it's trickling through your fingers, and you look like, and you got leaves and mineral decorations on your head, on your face, and a bugle, buffalo horn there. You look like you don't even have sufficient education. A village boy, they don't go to school. You look like you don't even have sufficient education. But I just can't understand you at all. But I know you are actually the supreme absolute truth. But I just can't understand it. That this form of yours is a... In other words, why would... I guess you think, everyone thinks, if I was God, we tried to put ourselves in someone else's position to when we want to experience something, we try to... But who would... If you were God, who would be a little boy, village boy, with no shoes? You got full facility to enjoy. No, you never dream of that, being a kid, right? You'd never dream of that. At least I wouldn't. But actually, the kids are quite happy, aren't they? Children are always happy. I mean, they cry a lot, but they're always happy. They don't have responsibility. But in our conditioned state, we think, no, we should be mature, we should be smart, we should be intelligent, we should have all the stuff, and then we can really... be successful and happy. We think. No, who would think to go back if you had the option to be whatever you like, do whatever you like? Who would actually choose to go back and be a little boy? I doubt we'd even enter our minds. So this is what Brahma's saying. He's, you know, he's running the universe, and he's saying this form of yours is the absolute truth. And I can't understand at all. I better go. I'm talking too much. I'm just making a fool of myself. I bet I'm sorry for the intrusion in your pastimes. You have this form because, and you're playing with your friends, same age friends, and you're sitting on the floor in the dust with them, and you're eating your tiffins. You're using leaves and you're using rocks, cleaning the rocks. And they're saying, well, you taste this, Krishna. He says, well, this one's really good. This one, my mom made this one. Krishna, try this. And you're eating it. And sometimes you say, Lord, this one's really good. Sometimes they're snatching from your plate and eating. I can't understand this. Why would God do such a thing? He's Brahma. He's running the universe. And he's an executive. So you don't think... Things like that. This is how we're conditioned in the material world. But oh, that's Krishna. He wants to enjoy all these different rasas. So therefore, he enjoys from the full span from childhood to youth. He don't worry about old age. I mean, he has the time, but he's not going to enter into the old age. Not like us. No, if we had a choice, we would never get over 40, right? We would stop at 40 or so. Like that. Krishna's always 16, 17, 18, looks. Doesn't go beyond that. Even he had great grandchildren. Our grandchildren. Silly looked very young and beautiful. And why not? He's come to give pleasure to his devotees and attract us. So this is the personality, and here he's showing the inconceivable, how he's inconceivable to be simultaneously one and different from his creation, which Mahaprabhu was expounding this philosophy of Chintaveda, Veda, Veda, Tattva, simultaneously one, yet different from it. This synthesizes all of the different, those different philosophies of Vaita, Advaita, Dvaita and Advaita, that he can synthesize it. He is both simultaneously. He is everywhere as Advaita in the Brahman effulgence is spread everywhere. That's the ambience of the whole everything. In creation and outside the creation, it's all resting in the Brahman, which you can say is the spiritual sky. That's also Krishna. That's his impersonal aspect. But then within that, he's also has form, and he performs activities. And for those activities, you need places, and you need stuff, and entities to relate to. So they all come from Krishna. The space is his already. Then within that, from his own body, Savasya Prabhava, from his own body comes earth, water, fire, air, in the material world, that is. And in the spiritual world, it's all the spiritual counterparts of that, of Satchidananda. And then he expands into, not directly, Balaram, as Balaram, because Krishna doesn't do any work. Then he expands into the dam and the residence and the trees and the cows and so it's all, but it's all Krishna, it's all his energy acting according to his desire. So there's nothing but Krishna. And then he enters into that. It's his energy, he makes a whole playground, a whole scene, stage, and then he personally enters into it and plays like someone else. So that's why he's so bewildering. But he's not, he's the actual. But that's how he gets pleasure. From relationships. So it has to be variegated, then there's more pleasure. In the Brahman, they say it's Satchit Ananda, but there's no variegatedness. So how can you experience, you can only experience one type of Ananda. Because that Ananda, because there's no variety there, it doesn't change, then once you get used to that Ananda, once that Ananda is the ambience, then it's not Ananda anymore. It's just normal. Because there's no change, there's no up, no down, it's just normal. So how can you feel bliss from it? But when there's variety and there's exchanges, then you're going to all these different relationships, interactions are going to come on. So then you're going to get the different things. You know, there's going to be excitement. There's going to be joking. There's going to be arguments. You're going to get all these different kinds of experiences. So you're going to experience that Ananda in so many varieties. Whereas the Brahman of the Mayavadis, etc., they experience only one thing. And because you can't relate it to anything else, you can't even experience that it, you can't even perceive that it is Ananda, because there's nothing to relate it to. If there's no Ananda, near Ananda, if there's no misery, how can you know it's happiness? How will you know what happiness, unless there's misery, you don't know what happiness is. Unless there's suffering, right? If everyone's happy all the time, you're feeling good all the time, then that's normal. It's not special. Right? It's only special because there's suffering. Then the relief and the happiness is special. But if there is no unhappiness, then it's not special anymore. Only when you first get in, it's special, it's a relief. But afterwards, it's not special, it's just the ambience, just the normal. So you don't experience any ananda, really. They don't experience it as ananda. They just experience the chit, the existence. And what's to experience? There's nothing going on. So horrible. Horrible. You wouldn't like it. From our consciousness now, no one would like to go a place where there's no perception, sense perception. It's a torture, actually. When a really serious criminal, they give them solitary confinement. Punishment. Put them in a padded cell. It's a torture. And the light is also torture. I had a cataract operation. I recently had some other laser, but they put the lens on your eye, and you have a ring. They put a ring in your eye, so you can't blink. Then they put this other instrument in, it touches the eye. It has to burn off the laser out the whatever's problems you have with your defects, the things in the eye. And it's a terrific bright light. It's horrible. And you're trying to blink and you can't. But you're trying hard. And he says, open the other one. I said, no, it's bad enough already. I'm not going to open the other one. He said, open the other one. Then you open it. Oh, and then the light goes down. I guess you share it or something. But it's painful. You want it to be finished and you can't get rid. You can't turn away and you can't blink. And that's only that big. Horrible. Imagine in the Brahma Jyoti. Huh? Horrible. That's what I was thinking. This is horrible. What's a Brahma Jyoti like? So no life, painful light. Of course, we're relating from this experience. Different when you get there, I don't know. there's nothing to relate to. So Krishna is that. That's him. There's nothing but him. Ham Shavasya Prabhupada. It's all his energy. But simultaneously, he's different from it. Although he makes a creation, and he goes in the creation and acts like part of the creation, he's actually not. It's bewildering. Everyone is bewildered. How can you understand? How can you? Everything is moving according to his will. But by his activities and his wonderful pastimes, you can understand. Whatever he wants, he does. And nobody can check. That's a history. Right? Whatever he does, whatever he wants to do, he does. It happens. No one can check it. Is that a history? He's not only talking, Krishna's showing. He is the supreme controller. No one can deny. And the supreme enjoyer that we can't experience. Brahma said, what kind of enjoyment are you experiencing in that body? That little form is the embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss. What kind of happiness you must be experiencing, I can't imagine, in that form. Bhaman Hari Ki Jai. So he's asked us to speak a little bit about Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's appearance today. I can't speak so much. There will be a program in the Conch building from 10 o'clock. Everyone is invited. We know him as a very great soul. He was very kind to me. Very personal. He's a real person. You could speak to him and he would treat you as a person. He would look at you and respect your thing, but he always got what he wanted. You know? It may not affect him, but he's very personal and very powerful. I was speaking to someone this morning. He said, Tamal Krishna is so powerful. I said, it feels like he's still here. So he was a very powerful person. Very effulgent. And he was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. One story he told is in Calcutta. That time he was a grihastha. And he said our facility was, we had a room, and there's one couple living one side and a curtain in the middle, and that was on the other side we were living. The room was, he said, that was the best facility I ever had as a grihastha. And Srila Prabhupada started. He was forming a GBC then. So Tamal Krishna said, I want to be a GBC, because if you're a GBC, you're going to get Prabhupada's association. So he said he wanted to be GBC for India, which he said was a great idea, because Prabhupada's, you know, he spent a lot of time in India, a lot. So, but he said, of course, the other side of being a GBC wasn't so wasn't the piece of cake. But Prabhupada wanted to started the life membership program there. So then, and Tamil was the only grihastha. All the other GBC were sannyasis around at that time, at that particular place, anyway, Calcutta. And then they were making members, but then there's a whole backup, you know, you've got to print cards, you've got to keep documents, you've got to keep books, and it's follow-ups. And not, then he would get someone to help him for a little while, and they'd say, look, I'm a sannyasi, I can't do this job. And, oh, sorry, I can't do that. After a little while, then he couldn't find anyone to help him, no one would help him, doing all the routine, you know, the routine work. So then he was just, he was maxed out, because he had to do everything himself, and he couldn't do it. So then he went to Prabhupada, and he was crying. He told Prabhupada, I've had it, I can't do this, no one got to help me either. No one got sannyasis, they're not going to do this work. So Prabhupada said, oh, very good. He said, you're so perplexed, you can't do it. He said, I was crying. And Prabhupada said, that's like Arjuna, you see. He was perplexed, he didn't know what to do. That means he couldn't think of anything else. He couldn't think of Maya. He said, you're very lucky to be like this. He said, Tamal Krishna said, I was hoping for a little empathy or sympathy or something like that. Prabhupada, no, you're so lucky to be in this position. You know, you have no time for Maya, because you're so busy you can't even finish what you've got. And from there also Srila Prabhupada was sent into Mayapur to secure this land, and he had to take he bought the money. At that time it was 100 rupee notes was the biggest note, and the land was about 4,000 rupees a biga at that time. That means 12,000 rupees an acre in those days. But still, that was a lot of money at that time. And he said, and the system was such then, when he went to the, he had to get the cash from the bank, so it's all in 100 bills, so he had a lot, and he had to stick it down his dhoti, because, you know, he's going by train and bus, and, you know, expert pickpockets everywhere. Then he made the purchase with the people that owned the land, Sheikh brothers, and they came with sticks, because they were going to take the money and give him the land, so they came with swords and sticks. And they had to go to a bank somewhere, and he had to register the number of every note. Can you imagine? It was a system in those days. So then he got back to Calcutta. It was late, like after 11 o'clock, everyone was sleeping except the light on him, Srila Prabhupada's room. So then he went to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was there awake, doing work. And he came in and paid his obeisance. He said, Srila Prabhupada, the land is yours in Mayapur. Prabhupada said, thank you very much. Take rest. So he bought this, he actually did that purchase here. I came to visit Jananivas here in 1970, possibly 71. There was the bhajan kirtan was there, and it was a pandal. So it was then just after Gopurnima, and not Gopurnima. I think the first one was 72. Anyway, there was a pandal there. They had a program, maybe. And the devotees thought I'd come to take Jananivas back, because he, Jananivas had joined just recently. So they thought I've been. There was a rumor that my mother sent me to India to get Jananivas back to normal. Wasn't a fact. We were in India. We were both in India together. I just wasn't with him when he joined. So it was a little intense, and there was I had some good arguments with the sannyasis at that time, and I wasn't a devotee, so I was more puffed up, and and I was initiating some Mayavadi gurus also, so I was arguing with him Mayavad, and of course, I couldn't defeat them. I remember having an argument with Achyutananda Swami. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj came. So I said, listen, he says he's closer to God than me. What do you think? So he was very mellow. He wasn't going to argue. He said, look, don't worry about how close other people, don't worry about how close other people are to God. You worry how close you are to God. So it was, he was the first one to give me instruction, I think. First devotee to actually instruct me. Yeah, very, when he wanted to do things, he would let everyone know, and he would ask their opinion also. Just like when he was doing his, going to go back to university, he wanted to become a professor. The idea was that they get their degrees, they get their PhDs, and then Prabhupada wanted a university in Mayapur. So he wanted to get a degree so that he could come and teach. When we opened the university in Mayapur, he said, my subjects will be ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. He said, I'll be giving doctorates on this subject. But he would ask everyone, what do you think? And he even asked me, although I was an insignificant devotee, what do you think of this? Me, I'm going to go back to school, going back to... So he's very, even though I was a nobody, he was still asking my opinion. So he made you like feel, he's very personal like that. Very strict. Very strict with his disciples. And he could be very, very intense. But he was training. And he'd say, I'm training you like this. He used to bring them to tears sometimes. So I'm training you like this. I'm training you because when you go back to the spiritual world, you have to know how to serve Krishna properly. And also he was trained, Srila Prabhupada was very strict, also strict trainer with his senior devotee, with the senior devotees. He would probably give a lot of pressure for those that could take it. So he had both those sides, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, both those sides, very sweet, and the same, he could be very heavy also, the thunderbolt and the very particular. But he did so much, Prabhupada, so much appreciation for what he did. He was one of the pioneers in the book distribution, and preaching in different difficult countries. Very, very, very favored. A lot of mercy from Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, his Vyas Pooja program will go on. Punch Building. I forget the room. 10 o'clock. Sorry? 872. 876. Room number. Jai Shri Tama Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. Mai Bhaktavinda ki jai. Thai Gopremanandi. Hare Hare.